Our scripture today is Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15, a short piece of scripture. We're using the Amplified version. You'll see that there are words in brackets. That's the Amplified portion, and it's put in there to add a little explanation to the original text. I have it in red because those are the words of Jesus. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let us begin. And forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For you forgive others their trespasses. For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. All-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God, thank you for your holy, inspired word, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. May God, the Holy Spirit, be upon us now, that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive what you desire to reveal, and do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So most likely you recognize that the 12th and 13th verses are the end of the Lord's Prayer. And of course, it is called the Lord's Prayer because Jesus gave it to his disciples as a model prayer. Now the poet, Alexander Pope, was not a pastor or a preacher, but no doubt you've heard his quote, "To err is human, to forgive, divine." Last week in our examination of Colossians chapter 2, we learned that Christians have been made complete in Jesus Christ, that we have been given fullness in him. And this compels us to forgive as we have been forgiven. In today's text, the 14th and 15th verses drive home the crucial place of forgiveness in the Christian community. After all, it is the rule of the kingdom, thy kingdom come. It is foundational to our faith. Now, a barometer measures atmospheric pressure. Variations in this pressure determine wind and storm patterns on the earth. Barometers have been around 400 years now, and they're very reliable in predicting short-term weather forecasts. You can see on this picture that besides giving the numbers for the atmosphere's pressure, it gives the weather forecast, right? Because the barometer has been around so long now, and they are so reliable, the term has become part of the modern vernacular. Something that indicates fluctuations, such as in public opinion, it could be called a barometer. It has become a common metaphor of measuring and predicting. Hence the title for today's message, right? Forgiveness as a barometer of your faith. My premise is that the degree to which we exercise forgiveness can forecast patterns in our lives. When forgiveness is lacking, it can result in stormy weather. When forgiveness is exercised fully, fair winds and traveling seas are predicted. There was a certain man. He had a son who had been married about 10 years. And after a couple of turbulent years, that marriage ended in divorce. While a few divorces are completely one-sided, this one was largely due to the decisions and infidelities on the part of the daughter-in-law. And during the settlement, the son made some serious concessions in order to keep the peace. It was a painful and tearful process for the son. He knew he needed help and sought that help at a divorce care program at a local large church that was near him. This was a critical step in his getting seriously involved with the church, with life groups, Bible studies, and his giving and his worship attendance. The son committed his life fully to the Lord. He shared custody of their young daughter. He did his best to cooperate with his ex-wife and her new husband. Sometimes there were minor conflicts, but they were able to work through them. He reached a point where he no longer harbored ill feelings towards his ex-wife. He had forgiven her. Not so for the certain man. He knew he was supposed to forgive her. He tried to forgive her. He thought at times that he had forgiven her, but he had not. This certain man knew today's scripture. He knew that he would be forgiven in the same way he forgave. Who knew how many times that he had prayed this in the Lord's Prayer? This was troubling indeed. The very words of Jesus. This certain man also knew Matthew chapter 5, starting the 43rd verse. You have heard it? Jesus' words again. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? The certain man had followed this teaching in other situations. He had sincerely prayed for those with whom he had been in conflict. They certainly needed to be prayed for, and praying for our enemies changes our hearts. Probably on three different occasions, he had prayed for his ex-daughter-in-law over different durations. It helped, but it was short-lived. In his mind, he had forgiven her, but unfortunately, not so in his heart. He found himself thinking negative thoughts, and he had stopped praying for her. What had happened is that he had given Satan a beachhead, and Satan developed that beachhead into a stronghold. Satan often whispered, "Your anger is righteous because it is on behalf of your son." Of course, your behavior is natural and justified. Then in any instance where the certain man could find fault in his ex-daughter-in-law's behavior or actions, the devil would shout, see, you were right. The author of Hebrews warns us, chapter 12, verse 15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defiles many. That bitter root can break rocks. It can crack foundations. It has destroyed marriages. A bitter root leaves a terrible taste in everyone's mouth. It has undermined churches. Now here is the crucial tragedy for our certain man. Through his son's marriage, there are two granddaughters. Whenever those granddaughters do anything that reminds them of their mother, there is an acid reflux of that bitter root that has taken hold. Surely, unless he changes course, he will shipwreck on the stormy seas to come. Jesus says in Luke, chapter 6, verse 37, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you and me. Colossians 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive, as the Lord forgave you. Now, a barometric altimeter uses an atmospheric pressure reading to determine altitude. Now, I've installed or replaced them during my career in Coast Guard Aviation. At the beginning of each flight, the pilot sets it for that day's sea level reading. And then it gives you your altitude as you fly along. You probably know that altitude is critical to aircraft safety. And for this metaphor, I say to you that the higher your forgiveness, the more heavenly is your flight. The lower your forgiveness, the more likely you are to run into one of those cliffs or a microwave tower. Let me introduce you to a man named David. David's father was an alcoholic. David's grandfather was an alcoholic. And David was adamant that this would never happen to him. But he had a serious business setback, creating a crippling financial crisis for his family. David did find a good job, but the hours were long and the stress was high. He began to have a drink to take the edge off before he went home. Yeah, you're already ahead of me, I know. One drink led to another. David loved his wife and he loved his children. The long work hours, extended by his drinking, created a strain at home. And the strain at home compounded with that what was happening at work. His performance at work began to slide. The out-of-control downward spiral began. To make a long story short, David's life unraveled. Lies at home, lies at work, relationships deteriorated, trust was broken. David began to isolate himself, turning ever more inward as he clung to that bottle. Shame overcame him. He left his home, his wife, and his children. What happened to David? Pastor Jim preaches at a church in the slums of New York, and he tells the following story. It was Easter Sunday, and I was so tired at the end of the day that I just went to the edge of the platform, pulled down my tie, and sat down and draped my feet over the edge. It was a wonderful service with many people coming forward to the invitation, of course. The counselors were talking with these people. As I was sitting there, I looked up the middle aisle, and there, in about the third row, was a man who looked about 50, disheveled and filthy. He looked up at me rather sheepishly, as if saying, "Could I talk to you?" We have homeless people coming in all the time asking for money or whatever. So as I sat there, I said to myself, though I'm ashamed of it, what a way to end a Sunday. I've had such a good time preaching and ministering, and here's a fellow probably wanting some money for more wine. He walked up. When he got about 5 feet from me, I smelled a horrible smell like I had never smelled in my life. It was so awful that when he got close, I would inhale by looking away. Then I talked to him and then look away to inhale again, because I couldn't inhale facing him. I asked him, "What's your name?" "David." "How long have you been on the street?" "6 years." "How old are you?"
32.
He looked 50, hair matted, front teeth missing, whiny, eyes slightly glazed. "Where did you sleep last night, David?" "In an abandoned truck." I keep in my back pocket a money clip that also holds some credit cards. I fumbled to pick one out, thinking I'll give him some money. I won't even get a volunteer. They're all busy talking with others. Usually we don't give money to people. We take them to get something to eat. I took the money out, and David pushed his finger in front of me. He said, "I don't want your money. I want this Jesus, the one you were talking about, because I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die in the streets." I completely forgot about David, and I started to weep for myself. I was going to give a couple of dollars to someone God has sent to me. See how easy it is? I could have made the excuse that I was tired. There is no excuse. I was not seeing him the way God sees him. I was not feeling what God feels. But oh, did that change? David just stood there. He didn't know what was happening. I pleaded with God, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry to represent you this way. I'm so sorry. Here I am with my message and my points, and you send somebody to me, and I'm not ready for it. Oh, God, help me. Something came over me. Suddenly, I started to weep deeper, and David began to weep. He fell against my chest as I was sitting there. He fell against my white shirt and tie. And I put my arms around him, and there we wept on each other. The smell of his person became a beautiful aroma. Here's what I thought the Lord made real to me. If you don't love the smell, I can't use you, because this is why I called you where you are. This is what you are about. You are about the smell. Christ changed David's life. He started memorizing portions of Scripture that were incredible. We got him a place to live. We hired him in the church to do maintenance, and we got his teeth fixed. He was a handsome man when he came out of the hospital. They detoxed him in 6 days. He spent Thanksgiving at my house. He also spent Christmas at my house. When we were exchanging presents, he pulled out a little thing and said, "This is for you." It was a little white hanky. It was the only thing he could afford. A year later, David got up and talked about his conversion to Christ. The minute he took the mic and began to speak, I said, "This man is a preacher." This past Easter, we ordained David. He's an associate minister of church over in New Jersey. And I was so close to saying to David, "Here, take this. I'm a busy preacher." We get so full of ourselves. Lord, thank you for sending others our way. May we never stop seeing them as your precious children, no matter how busy or tired we become. Amen. Surely you can see that David has been the recipient of God's grace and forgiveness. And now David is a champion and preacher of God's forgiveness and redemption. Today, my friends, I confess to you that I am that certain man to whom I spoke. I repent of the sin of unforgiveness. May God the Holy Spirit empower me to be steadfast and faithful to pray for my ex-daughter-in-law. Lord Jesus, unearth this root of bitterness in my heart and destroy the stronghold of Satan. Jesus, while you hung from that Calvary cross, bleeding and dying, you said, "Father, forgive them." How can we do anything less? Last week, I reenacted Jesus nailing our certificate of debt to the cross, which he paid our penalty upon. And I literally left it behind the communion table this week. He paid it all. Let us prepare our hearts to celebrate Holy Communion in remembrance of his sacrifice. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Most blessed Lord, we thank you for your love and care, for your forgiveness that was made possible through the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, let us be of the same mind as Christ Jesus. Let us be obedient from our gratitude for what you've done for us. Lord, we know that there's much sin and corruption in this world. And the opportunities to forgive our enemies. Equip us, Lord, through God the Holy Spirit, to be the men and women of God that you call us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.